This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:49 in the morning, you're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana, Xiaoning and Chen Li. It's a little under 2 weeks to go until Hari Raya Aidilfitri, a joyous occasion for Muslims as they mark the culmination of Ramadan, which is the month of fasting. And the special thing about this year's Raya is that Malaysians will finally get to celebrate without restrictions after 2 years of battling the COVID-19 pandemic.
With the transition to endemicity announced earlier this month, most of the COVID-19 restrictions have been eased, including limitations on business operating hours. Borders are also open to international visitors, and this bodes well for the economy, especially the ailing retail sector, which has been forced to either transition online or depend solely on domestic spending ever since the pandemic hit.
But with ongoing supply chain issues and labor shortages, how are retailers really recovering? For more on this, we have on the line with us Liana Yahya, Senior Manager, Analytics and Insights at Nielsen IQ, a global measurement and data analytics company specializing in retail and consumer intelligence. Liana, good morning. Thanks very much for joining us. Now, in light of the border reopening and upcoming Hari Raya festivities, what kind of impact have you seen on retail spend so far? I mean, are retail activity levels greatly heightened?
Hi everyone, good morning. So first of all, thank you so much for inviting me today. It's a pleasure to be back here. Regarding your question for our retail activity during this Hari Raya festivity. So the thing about Ramadan and Raya is actually been contributing to stronger sales compared to like the previous periods. In fact, what we saw was that last year, Ramadan and Raya grew double digit, like 20% compared to normal non-festive period. And then comparing to like the previous Raya before that, it was 14%. So whether there's COVID or not, consumers will still celebrate and we will increase our spending actually. So, and when it comes to our retail activity, right, it has actually been picking up since like quarter four last year, when we reached like over 90% of our adult population being fully vaccinated. And then when our restrictions were reduced and consumers were like feeling more comfortable trying to live with this endemic mindset. But so far, based on our previous 2 years of prior Ramadan, which first of all was during the start of COVID and then during the peak of COVID, we can expect that this year is going to be a lot more festive because, you know, our consumers are allowed to travel around. So sales can be diverted towards a lot more areas. And then we will see consumers purchasing more for in-home gatherings, which something was highly discouraged last year. So the stay-at-home economy will continue to remain, but festive will remain as a very important period regardless.
So what kind of stores are you seeing that are benefiting from the festive spending? Is it hypermarkets or shopping malls or mini marts or other types?
So every single year, it's always quite similar, whether there's COVID or not. Larger format stores, they continue to be the main channels for festive period stock-ups. And now, the interesting part is that mini market is seeing a similar kind of trend. So when I say larger format stores, they're like hypermarkets or supermarkets. And these stores have always been consumers' favorite festive channels. And surprisingly, it kind of remained the same in general. And even though like hypermarket hasn't been performing as well throughout the pandemic in the past 2 years. But mini market is a really interesting one because we do see these stores popping up more and more in our neighborhood. And when our consumers get more comfortable with these stores, they are attracted to it. And the fact that the product assortments can be just as wide, just as attractive as a regular supermarket, and even with attractive pricing, we see consumers treating these stores as their usual shopping locations, even during festive periods. And we see this store specifically, their sales peaks during festive period in like 2021 and even in 2020. And so the channel dynamics will continue to evolve as we ease in restrictions. And there will be new stores popping up and new stores closing down. So it's always good to relook and rebalance our assortment to make sure that we can grow and innovate more in this reopening market.
Liana, I'm curious though, in terms of the segments within the retail, what is it like? Are people still spending more in terms of groceries versus, let's say, clothing? Or are they looking at furniture? Is it household items? What has done better this year?
Grocery is definitely something that we keep a very, very close eye on. Mm. It peaked so much throughout the pandemic itself and it just continues to grow. But right now we do see a recovery in the ones which didn't do quite well throughout the pandemic. You know, things like beauty products, hair products, you rarely go to the office, so you don't need these products more. But we do see a recovery. It started trending upwards since the second half of last year. And even the channels like drugstore pharmacy, which dipped significantly during COVID, convenience store as well, they are all in a recovery mode.
And how are you seeing retailers marketing, I guess, in this festive season? You know, do you still see them pursuing an omni-channel approach even as the economy is reopening?
Yes, actually, almost like 60% of our Asia-Pacific consumers claim that they have been shopping in omni-channel, meaning both brick and mortar as well as online stores. But of course, it's also safe to say that the momentum wasn't as big as how it was in the previous year when COVID just started. But still, it is a very important channel now. In fact, in total Asia, e-commerce is now the second biggest channel. And we notice that consumers go there for the best deals, whether in terms of pricing or in terms of promotions. So we even have this service called E-commerce Accelerator coming up. It tracks daily e-commerce sales data. And what we see is that even in our neighboring countries, we see a phenomenal uplift during days like double days. It's a significant growth compared to a normal period.
And how do the Malaysian trends compare to others in the region where the Hari Raya is widely celebrated, like Singapore or Indonesia?
Across the market, there's a lot of similarities because of the constrained living, whether it is financial or it's the movement restrictions. So it really benefits things like packaged food. It really strives when people stay in, they cook at home, they eat more at home. So this is definitely a category which has been winning all across the region. But on top of that, there's also a shift towards health and wellness across the market. And when I say health and wellness, it's not just about the things we consume, but more about how we protect our loved ones and ourselves from any immediate harm. So we do see categories like vitamins, body wash, liquid antiseptic, you know, they grow across the region. So and when it comes to like differences between the market, it's probably because things like Singapore saw a bigger shift in FMCG growth because of their stronger reliance towards e-commerce. And then for Indonesia, it was more impacted because of their bigger reliance on grocery and mini market stores. And then for Malaysia, we are always in between these two countries.
Now, how severe is the impact of the global supply chain issue and labor shortages towards retailers in Malaysia? Are they starting to see, let's say, a margin squeeze?
Labor shortage issue has become one of the main concerns in our FMCG players when we asked them that, like just a month ago. But we also noticed that people development being one of the top areas to focus. So there are efforts in trying to retain this right now. It is widely accepted, spoken about. And then global supply chain issue is, of course, definitely a severe issue as well. But it's probably not as bad as how it was in the past 2 years, where we see a lot of out of stocks and everything. But the interesting part is the supply and demand effect, because with more chain issues, supply will become a lot harder to acquire. And on top of that, we have the labor shortage issue. So it ends up driving the cost of goods higher, which unfortunately are being passed on to the consumers. So when we survey our top players across Asia Pacific alone, 56% claim that they're going to increase their price. And then we saw that 38% claim that they're going to maintain their price. Only a minimal 6% said they'll reduce the price. So right now, it's really, really important to try to find the right balance when it comes to the price and the promotion in order for all of us to try to regenerate the demand for this economy.
All right, Liana, we've got about 30 seconds left on the clock, but maybe you could tell us your outlook for the retail industry in 2022 and what factors are going to impact your outlook moving forward for the rest of the year.
Sure. So we did this 2022 outlook study globally, and the trend is really, really similar across the region. Number one, we saw that consumers will move towards a more endemic mindset. And we're already seeing this happening with a lot more going to bazaars, hanging out. But we are still wearing masks, we're still using sanitizers, and we are keeping our distance. And then there's inflation, which continues to take a toll on our consumers. As mentioned, we have a lot of industry players trying to change their price. And they're also curious on how much, just so they don't impact the demand too much. And then we have the new priorities like health and wellness. It will remain as our utmost importance. And then, of course, finally, the added scrutiny on expenses. We have a large number of financially constrained and cautious consumers. So these consumers are really keeping a close eye on what they spend on and how much they spend on. But of course, yeah, just to close it off, there's a lot of positive outlook as well. So it's always best to understand your market at a most granular level.
Liana, thanks very much for speaking with us. That was Liana Yahya, Senior Manager of Analytics and Insights at Nielsen IQ, giving us her take on how the retail industry is recovering in the lead up to the Hari Raya festivities, which have been eagerly anticipated after 2 years of pandemic restrictions.
Yeah, but even before this, if we look at the statistics, right, coming out of the Department of Statistics, we already see a slight improvement in terms of the retail trade subsector that improved by 10.2% for the month of February. And I think this momentum can continue because of the border restrictions have been lifted. Of course, SOPs have been relaxed. And if anything, it's just pent-up demand, right? Cabin fever. Everybody wants to get on with their old lives. And I think we've gotten to the point where we are used to living with the SOPs. We still wear our masks. Of course, we still sanitize. We avoid being in close proximity with people. But it doesn't shop. It doesn't stop us from wanting to be out there and shop.
Liana did mention that even during the pandemic years, during festive seasons, there's still a bump in sales and retail activity. And I think that's going to be the same this year. But of course, the extent, the magnitude will be a lot more.
But what is interesting is that the COVID-19 has accelerated some of the trends that we saw overseas. So most retailers going forward will always, I think, pursue an omni-channel distribution approach. So no longer just brick and mortar, but looking at selling through online sources and social media has become extremely important in reaching out to the customer.
Absolutely. And if you look at all the sales events that you have online, the double digit days, you know, 11-11, 10-10, 9-9, every month has a double digit sale.
1-1, 2-2, 3-3, right? You can go on and on.
Where they can offer those really good deals that consumers like, and it translates as well to brick and mortar sales if people then go out there as well.
And all this e-commerce boom that we have seen over the last 2 years, and also not forgetting the new way of marketing, like video commerce.
Live videos
and all these new creational ways to reach out to customers is also very interesting.
That is right. Some trends to watch for sure. I think a lot of logistics players as well are tapping into this sort of social enterprise. Well, is it called social? There's a particular term for it. Social commerce, that is it. Yes, social commerce taking over and how big it's going to grow. That's the thing that everyone's watching. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.